Thanks for joining me. I'm Lauren Brommer. I'm going to be talking to you guys today about developing a consistent social personality and strategy. So we're witnessing a digital transformation faster than we've ever seen before. Today, it takes customers only 2.5 seconds to consume content on Facebook on their desktops and only 1.7 seconds on their mobile phones. Competition today to get our customers' attentions is exponential. If we thought it was tough back in the Draper days of getting their attention on mobile or print, radio, TV ads, today the competition is crazy. By 2020, which we say this 2020 is this magical year, which it's next year, which is crazy to believe, but by 2020, 85% of customers are going to manage their relationships with businesses without even talking to a human. So social media, if done effectively, can let us have real conversations and relationships with our customers and allow them to talk to us one-on-one and have them manage their relationships with us on mobile. So I'm Lauren Brommer. I live in Raleigh, North Carolina with my adorable Boston Terrier, Zoe. She's 10 months old, love of my life, and snores on every single call I'm on. Love to travel, love to drink wine, so looking forward to happy hour later. And I lead social media and events at Cisco. So for those of you that don't know who Cisco is or what Cisco does, we're the tech company, not the food company. Common mistake there. But our mission is to change the way people work, live, play, and learn through our technology. So some of our technology includes routers, switches, video conferencing, all the really techy things that kind of make our lives a little bit easier. So marketing 101, first and foremost, is you have to know your audience, right? So told you guys who I am, a little bit about me, but I want to know you guys. So count of three, I want you guys to shout out your name so I can get to know hopefully a couple of you. Okay, you guys ready? I know it's after lunch and we're a little bit sleepy. All right, 1, 2, 3. Okay, I heard a couple of those. We'll try this again. Okay, so this time be as creative as possible, but I want to know what companies you're from. So 1, 2, 3. Okay, once again, didn't understand. Now, if you guys were listening, I said be as creative as possible. But instead, you guys were trying to be heard, and you created a bunch of noise, and I didn't hear anything. It kind of all just blurred together in this jumble of noise. And if we are listening to our customers, we can interact with them one-on-one. If somebody had come up and introduced themselves to me, I would have remembered that and formed a relationship with you. And social media, if done effectively, is going to let us form that relationship with our customers, and they'll actually listen to us. So how many of you have used Tinder? Okay, you don't have to admit that, but how many of you are familiar with the profile, Tinder? So the dating app has a profile of your interests, and you can see the person's picture, their age, what they're interested in. If you swipe left, it means, okay, I'm not really crazy about you. Let's move on to the next one. Swipe right is, okay, you seem interesting. I want to get to know you a little bit better. So obviously, we want our customers to swipe right on our content in that 1.7 seconds that they're looking at it. So we're going to look at some other companies that are killing it on social right now, and hopefully you guys can take some advice from them and apply it to your own companies. So everyone knows Wendy's social. Their social is on their A game. We all want to be a Wendy's. I love this tweet. Devin tweeted and said, "How much does a Big Mac cost?" And Wendy said, "Your dignity." Wendy's is known for being a little bit snarky, a little bit snappy, but really funny. They actually, a couple months ago, did anyone tune into their National Roast Day, where it was a whole day of roasting of Wendy's, you know, people begging Wendy's to roast them on Twitter, which is just kind of a crazy thing. And that's because Wendy's is known as the comedian. They reply to customers and competitors with quick tongue-in-cheek comments. They're not afraid to clap back, and they're not afraid to mention their competitors. You know, somebody tweeted asking how much a Big Mac costs. Obviously, we know a Big Mac's from McDonald's, and Wendy's acknowledges it and says, get new friends. So Netflix was here earlier, and they kind of talked about how they love data, so I love this example. Netflix tweeted out a couple Christmases ago of, to the 53 people who watched A Christmas Prince every day for the past 18 days, who hurt you? And I love this because we know that Netflix is looking at their data, but they're making really funny and insightful observations about it. And so they're known as the data geek, and they kind of said this earlier, is they care about what their customers care about, and they're not afraid to get involved with those data points. And they put principles over profits, and they use data to make funny, insightful observations about their audience's behavior and what their viewers actually care about. Red Bull's another really good example. Red Bull's always showing some kind of crazy task that people are doing, but most of the time it's ordinary people doing these really extraordinary things. It's kind of content that you just want to stop and watch and enjoy. And they're kind of known as the daredevil. They show off feats and kind of control them with lighthearted humor. So it's all really cool things, sometimes a little bit dangerous and scary, but in a really entertaining way. So for Cisco, you know, mentioning some companies up here, what is Cisco's search personality? Well, we didn't really have one. A year ago, we had no social personality. It was confusing for our customers. So we had to go out about a process of basically revamping our entire social profile. And that's because we had 400 accounts, guys. That is ridiculous. 2 years ago, it was kind of when the big social media wave hit Cisco. And all the teams realized, okay, we need social. Social's the next big thing, and okay, we need a social channel. So for every industry that Cisco was in, so healthcare, education, manufacturing, retail, every team had their own social channels. And then every country had their own social channel. We had a Cisco Kazakhstan with 6 followers, but we still had it and we were tweeting from it. And it was ridiculous. Depending on who was behind the account, we were getting 400 different personalities coming from our channels. And obviously that's a really, really poor user experience. So we started this process about a year and a half ago of condensing down our channels. Our goal is to reach 100 channels, which is still a lot, but much better than 400, and we're still working on that process to this day, because it is a big undertaking. It's a lot of channels you have to get down. It's a lot of process of merging these channels to see where their content's going to best fit on a different channel. But it was all part of creating our new social personality, and we realized that in order to have a consistent social personality, we needed to have clear messaging only coming from a couple channels. So as I mentioned, you know, these were only a couple of the problems we had with so many channels. Some of our accounts were abandoned. So let's say Joe ran Cisco Retail. If Joe left Cisco for another company, no one would be running the Cisco Retail channel. Of course, it diluted a brand. If we had over 400 channels, it's going to dilute your brand a little bit. And then the interesting thing is, too, is when it came to the paid side of it, we were competing with our own channels for funding. So we could have an ad running on one Cisco channel that would be competing against another ad running on another Cisco channel when we could be utilizing our dollars much more effectively. And as I mentioned too, I mean, across the board, depending on what channel it was coming from and who was running it, our content was really, really inconsistent. So some of our content was just really bland. It kind of read like a press release. We were trying to sell you something rather than telling a story. This one talks about one of our healthcare influencers and talking about how healthcare is changing. And if anybody saw that picture, would you want to click on it? Would you want to engage with it? Probably not. I can guarantee you this photo we got from our archive of stock photos, and it doesn't really tell a story. Some of our content was really good. We had some content, at the time it was called Cisco Spark. It's our messaging platform. It competes with Slack, and Slack went down. So our Cisco Canada channel hopped in and realized, you know, they saw that the hashtag Slack down was trending. So we jumped in saying, is your collaboration slacking? There's always Cisco Spark. And we had a GIF of somebody saying, it works. I don't know if it's GIF or GIF, but so some of our content was really good, and we were responding in real time to trends that were happening. And then some of our content was really fun and engaging. We did some pieces of content for World Emoji Day where we created these emojis asking if people can crack the code. So this content was fun and engaging, and if you're scrolling through, this is going to cause you to pause and want to look at it. But again, as you can see across the board, it's really inconsistent. It looks like 3 different people made these pieces of content. And you can just see for comparisons the type of engagements we got. That left post had 0 engagements. And when I say 0, I'm not exaggerating. We had 0 engagements on that post. The middle one, 206 engagements, which for organically for us was pretty high. And then we had 143 on the right. So as you can see, the more fun and engaging content performs a lot better than a bland photo with not really telling a story. So even though we're a really big B2B company, social media is the first touch point with our customers. So it's not B2B, B2C, it's to me today. It doesn't matter what size company you're working for. You need to respond to your customers in a really authentic and human-like way. So as I mentioned, we had a brand personality, but we lacked a social personality. Cisco's vision, as I mentioned, is changing the way we work, live, play, and learn through every aspect of our technology. And our brand's personality said that we are trustworthy, innovative, passionate, courageous, and fiercely loyal. Those posts before didn't really convey that. Some of them sort of did, but overall, it didn't really show who Cisco was or what we were doing. So as part of merging all of our channels, we had to come up with a social personality. We had a brand personality, but we realized to have that human-like aspect with our customers, we needed to create a personality for our social channels that extend from our brand personality. So meet Cisco Social. We're the approachable innovator. We love pointing out new trends in tech to customers. We're realistic and upbeat, a tech optimist who makes the world a better place without raising a ruckus. That's who we are. It matches our brand personality really well, but this takes it one step further and helps us be much more flexible on social and have that human-like touch. But those are great words. It's a little fluffy. It sounds good, but how do we actually apply that? So we made a personality quiz. Let's say Cisco Social did a BuzzFeed quiz. How would we respond? These were some of the answers we came up with. If we were a Harry Potter character, we'd be Hermione Granger. Our favorite movie genre is futuristic rom-com, also Westerns, but don't tell anyone. Our Star Wars character would be C-3PO, but we're trying to be more R2-D2. This kind of paints a picture of who we would be as an actual human and how we might respond. But we had to take it one step further because that's fun, and we were having fun with this. So we made a dating profile because if Cisco was on Tinder, how would Cisco respond? So, and we do. We form relationships with our partners, with our customers, with our investors. So what do we say? And I'll read this out loud because I love this profile. But basically it says we're 34 years old. Our glass is half full. We're already filling up the other half. We're from the Bay Area, but we work everywhere. We love problem solving, traveling, and long conversations via router. Our friends say we're smart, trustworthy, and look good in blue. Yes, we'll fix your IT issues. We'll fix everyone else's IT issues, too. We're headed for the future at the speed of thought. Can you keep up? Swipe right. I love that. I think that's good. And basically, I mean, it makes us more human. It shows us who we are as a person, how we might respond. So this was only the first step. But of course, we had to actually apply this to the content we were creating and then how we would share that content out on social. So this is our SMB customer. Before, Cisco would primarily target really large businesses, but the small businesses are a really big segment that we hadn't really reached yet. And through our research, this audience especially really, really wanted that human-like touch with Cisco. They thought of Cisco as this really big corporate company that really didn't care about them. And until we kind of created this new personality, we couldn't care about them. So this particular customer, they want us to help educate others in their company. They wear a lot of hats, and they need to get as much information as they can before they take it to their executive team. And most of the information that they look for is through social channels. They still use Google and other more traditional methods, but this customer especially looks on Twitter and on Facebook and Instagram for their answers and what others think about certain companies. And we realized that this segment especially, they're a little bit nerdy and they really like memes. So we had never really created memes before now, but to reach this customer, we had to show them that we knew how to connect with them and we understood the issues that they were going through. So these were our top three performing memes that we had in the past year. The top one was our best performing, and it's a really simple image. It says one of these things exists, and it says simple IT or a unicorn, and live happily ever after. We thought this would do well, but we had so many people engaging with this post. People were arguing if a unicorn's actually real. Some are saying, no, both is real, or someone's saying it's definitely the unicorn, my IT sucks. So a lot of people had fun with that top image. The middle one, we created a lot of these just around holidays to have fun with it. So this one is New Year, same old IT issues. We had another one around Thanksgiving with a family sitting at a dinner table and saying that politics at the dinner table is bad, but talking about simple IT is good. And then when the Marie Kondo, has anyone watched the Marie Kondo Netflix show? My closet's forever changed. But we jumped in with real-time trends, and we realized that this was trending on Twitter of sparking joy, and we're like, okay, we can apply this. That's a data center and much mumbled, jumbled wires. We're like, let's be nerdy and have fun with this. So we created this image. Our graphics designer made it in 30 minutes for us, and says, does your IT spark joy and organize? And that one blew up. People were loving it, and if we posted it now, it may not have the same effect, but we posted it about a week after the show came out. So after people kind of knew what sparking joy meant, we had this image come out, and it did really well. So we also created a series of videos. Before, a lot of our videos were a little bit corporate-y. They weren't really relatable to the SMB customer. So we realized that this customer, a lot of the phrasing that we heard through our persona research was they kind of felt like they were trapped in this jungle. They're trying just to stay alive, stay afloat. They can't innovate their company because they're just trying to make sure that they're secure, that they're not getting hacked, that they can manage their data centers and all of these things. And so we created just a little cartoon video to kind of show that, hey, we understand you and we can help you out.
So what's happening here?
Well, over time, we kept adding new systems, apps, and vendors. And as our business, employee, and customer needs grew, all these IT things grew right along with us. Add in all the constant licensing, updates, patches, vendor turnover, and things got pretty wild.
Cisco Simple IT unites all of your core technology needs into one solution that's easy to manage.
Well, that certainly would be nice.
Unjungle your IT with Cisco Simple IT.
So that's just one of our videos that we had. We had this video launch around Spice World last year, which is a big event for small businesses, and that's where we reach a lot of our SMB customers. And one other thing to note for this video is the audio is playing for you guys right now, but we made sure that we had subtitles for this video because most people, when they're scrolling through videos on their social feeds, don't turn on the sound. So if we didn't have sound on this, we probably wouldn't have had nearly the same amount of engagement that we would have had with subtitles. But I mean, just as easily, if I had this video on mute, you guys would understand what's happening, what's going on. And you would be able to watch the video to completion because you could see the context of what was happening. So our next video that I'm going to show you is our latest campaign, Bridge to Possible. This is my favorite campaign Cisco's ever done. I think it's super cool. It all originated of when Cisco started, it was basically just two people in love trying to communicate on a college campus. And so that's how they came up with Bridges and all of the IT that we see today. And the name Cisco comes from San Francisco, and our logo mimics the Golden Gate Bridge. So our new campaign is kind of going back to our roots of why we started and showing how we connect a lot of different things. So whether it's using our technology to protect rhinos or elephants in Africa with tracking so that they're stay away from poachers, or helping to mobilize the port of Shanghai, which is the busiest port in the world, of using our technology so that they can be more efficient, of, you know, we're the bridge to help you get to those possibilities because of our technology. So this is our new campaign. Again, it kind of shows our new personality of we're bold and we're proud of what we do, but we're also really humble about it. This video isn't trying to sell a single product or solution, but it's telling a really compelling story of why people should choose Cisco.
Between what is hoped for and what can be, there's a bridge. Between the aspirations of a ball club and the greatest sports venue in America, there's a bridge. Between chaos and wonder, endangered and protected, there's a bridge. Built on technology that can solve, create, heal, inspire, and secure. A bridge. There from the beginning to where we stand today, and where we will go from here. One company, one promise. If you can imagine it, we will build the bridge to get you there. Cisco. The bridge to possible.
So I love that campaign. Definitely check it out on Twitter. It launched about a month or so ago, so it's really, really new. We're constantly coming out with new pieces to tie into this. As Micah mentioned in the last session, of, you know, this We have a lot of cool stories from this campaign, and we're trying to figure out as many ways to get that story out as possible without it growing old, because it's a really cool story that we're telling. And again, it kind of shows our new personality of we're bold, we're innovative, but we're also really humble about it, and we have really humble reasons of why we're doing what we do. So shifting gears a little bit, but I wanted to talk about events, since part of what my job is leading events for Cisco. And we go to a lot of trade shows. Does anybody else work trade shows or anything like that? Okay, so a lot of the trade shows we go to is it's a lot of vendors, and they're spamming the poor audience that is following that hashtag at that event. And we kind of fell into the trap, too. We would say, come to our booth, come to our booth, come to this session. We're doing this giveaway, and look at this, and look at this, and look at me, and buy from Cisco. And through social listening, we realized this was at EDUCAUSE 2 years in a row, which EDUCAUSE is a big higher education event. So a lot of IT professionals from college campuses come to this event, figure out how to secure their campuses and all that stuff. And so we saw two tweets with kind of the same messaging of saying, what's the secret hashtag? So we can actually read attendee tweets instead of the vendor deluge. And then the other one said, I just wish the vendors had a better strategy. Give me useful info and a reason to care, not just your booth number, or stop wasting space. I can read a map. Ouch. This was kind of a shocker to the whole teams that did this, because that's what they had always done. And showing them this, yeah, their strategy wasn't really working. And so we realized we had to flip our strategy on its head and be a lot more innovative with the content that we were sending out. We realized, too, a lot of people that follow these hashtags aren't at the event. So how can we tell that story to the people sitting at homes on their computer and also for the people at the event? So now part of what we do is we don't let customers know we're there. We're a big company. They know we're there. They're going to see our booth. We're not going to drive booth traffic because, again, they get the program. They can find us. And Cisco-centric content, we think it's great, but not everyone else thinks it's great. So how can we tell those stories instead of just saying, come to our booth, buy our products? So now we're trying to enhance the attendee experience, scaling the experience past on-site attendees, and generate content for use post-event. This is key, because usually what we would do is we plan for months for these events. And then the event happens, and we're all exhausted. We're like, okay, we're done, on to the next one. And then all of these people, it takes time for them to come back and kind of digest, similar to this conference, of you guys are probably going to need a week or so of thinking about all the stuff that you've learned and how you're going to action it. So we will kind of just leave people flying high and dry of when the event's done, we're not going to provide them any useful content. So now what we do is we do a lot of Facebook Lives of educating people what's happening at the event with influencers, but also letting people that are home be able to tune in and also watch and figure out what's going on. And then Instagram stories is something we've started doing recently, which I know Instagram stories have been around for a long time. Cisco's just now getting started on it. But we've kind of used Instagram's features of tying in what Cisco's doing, but in a really fun and interactive way. So we've used the polling features. Polling features have been really, really successful for us. This is one that we had at NRF, which is a big retail trade show that happened back in January. And our first two questions tied into what's your bigger priority? Is it workforce efficiency or customer experience? Are you leveraging digital for your in-store innovations, yes or no? And then our third frame is where we drive to our content. So we kind of have people in when they're responding to the poll. And then our third frame swiped up to learn more, but it didn't go to a landing page, didn't go to a gated piece of content. It went to a really fun retail infographic. So again, it was colorful, it was interactive. So it kind of mimics the same look and feel that they're seeing in the Instagram story, and then they can swipe up in a platform and see what's happening. And usually on our Instagram stories, and this one was only three frames long, even for some that were shorter, we would only see a 50 to 60% completion. So we saw above average completion rate for these. And over 10,000 views per slide. Typically, we would see around 4,000 views per slide. And then we had 32,000 views total on all the frames. So this has been working really well for us. And again, it's authentic, it's fun, it's engaging, and we're not really trying to sell you something right away. So now we're going to talk about trolls and cheerleaders. Micah mentioned it in the last session a little bit about trolls and how do you deal with them. But we also need to consider cheerleaders and how do we respond to them on social. And after we created our new social personality and kind of rolled out with that, we had to figure out of what are we going to do when people comment? How are we going to respond? And what's the process? And no matter who's operating whatever channel they're working for, they know how to respond to both of these people. So trolls, first of all, of course we know who trolls are on the internet. They try to detract others from your brand. They actively engage with their content. They're going to do whatever they can to pull people away to your competitors, to whatever it may be, but they're going to try to make your brand look bad. Cheerleaders, on the other hand, are your brand advocates. They're going to love you no matter what. They actively engage with your content. They like it. They share it. They tell their friends. But the key thing is here, both of these types of people are actively engaging with your content. So it's important that you're engaging with them. So before, we would get customer complaints on social of people saying that their router's been down. They restarted it. They keep disconnecting. What's going on? And before we had this whole social personality, that's how we would respond. We wouldn't respond. We would ignore it. We would just pretend it didn't happen. And of course, that looks bad because their followers are seeing that, and it creates a really poor user experience. But now we have a process. If we get a complaint, we know how to respond. We make sure we respond. Our goal is within 30 minutes. We would love for it to be less than that. Before, we wouldn't respond at all. So it's definitely an improvement. And we basically say, you know, here, we want to help. Send us a DM, or we send them a DM and so we can get more information. And part of this is creating a whole spreadsheet of demand response. So we know if it's based on security, if it's based on collaboration, we can find that subject matter expert as soon as possible and make sure that we get the answer within 24 hours of their initial direct message. And then again, on the other side, cheerleaders, you know, somebody's tweeting out, our customers are typically pretty nerdy, so they'll usually tweet out with memes or GIFs or something of, you know, loving our switches, think they're pretty sweet. I'm like, okay, yay, I don't know what that means, but cool, it sounds good. But again, people are calling us out on Twitter and we wouldn't respond, and these are our customers and our brand advocates, and we need to kind of boost them up a little bit. So again, this takes 5 seconds to respond to them like this, and it's a process to manage it, but it creates a much better user experience when we show that we're listening to them and we care what they have to say. And it can be as simple as just saying, hey, thanks, we think so too. We don't have to be super artsy with our response of just showing, hey, we're not acknowledging you and we hear what you're saying. So overall, rules of social is you want to tell the whole story. You don't want to create cliffhangers on your content. You want to make sure that each post that you have is complete, it's cliffhanger-free, and it tells the whole story. And this is the case for the entire funnel process. So whether you're top of the funnel, bottom of the funnel, you want to make sure that people can get the full story with your single post. If they want to learn more, they can click on your link, but you want to make sure that they're getting the gist of it on social. It's not mobile first anymore, it's mobile only. You have to make sure your content looks good on mobile. If it doesn't, people are not going to engage with it. If your content looks good on mobile, it's going to look good on desktop, but the reverse is not true. So you have to make sure that whatever piece of content you're driving to looks really good on mobile. And social is not really a place to place an ad, at least organically. It's not a drive-to, it's a conversation. You want to make sure that you're asking questions, creating dialogue, both with your followers creating dialogue on your post, but also you talking to your followers, because it's a conversation, and that's how you form relationships with your customers. So overall, recapping, we want to be authentic. Overall, you know, we can't all be a Wendy's or Netflix on social, but it's important that you know your own brand's personality and you stick to it and be your true self. You want to engage, so whether you are getting troll comments, you're getting cheerleader comments, you want to make sure that you engage with your followers and show them that you're actively listening and that you care about them. And listen, again, it's easy to listen to your customers. We don't have to be talking on social the whole time, but let's see what other people are saying about us and look for opportunities to either create content or engage with them. So digital transformation's already here. It's already happening. So how are you guys going to stay ahead and make sure that people swipe right on your content in that 1.7 seconds that they're seeing it? Thank you, guys. I would love to hear questions if you have any. And please, please, please fill out the feedback forms. We'd love to hear about you guys. And if you love this presentation, have questions, tweet at me. I'm at Lauren Brommer on Twitter. I will respond to you because I'm listening to you guys. So thank you. I know we have a good amount of time left. Questions? We're still in the process. So it was a difficult headache process. I will say people fall in love with their channels, even if they had really, really low engagements. So it was a process of kind of figuring out. We used Follower Wonk to figure out how many people were following at Cisco compared to at Cisco Healthcare, and where would the retail content best fit. And we realized that not all of the retail content can go on Facebook or Twitter, but we can target on LinkedIn, for example, to the retail audience. So kind of figuring out how can we best merge and where do they best fit. But we're still in the process of it. Right now we're in phase two, so all of our channels have either been merged, deleted, or deactivated. So now it's in the process of educating the new channel owners how to use it, and then when they get requests from these people needing to post on their channels now, the process for that. So it's still ongoing. Yeah, so we look at events, what events are coming up. So whether it's holidays, new launches, trade shows, what content we can best put out on those channels. And we create a biweekly calendar. So because stuff is happening so rapidly, we do it every 2 weeks and kind of figure out, okay, is it a CSR post? Is it going to be something to recruit people? Is it going to be talking about our technology? And we try to do a good mix. About a third of, you know, stuff for our employees and recruiting, a third about our products and solutions, and then a third about the people at our company to kind of tell those authentic stories. So, so we use Sprinklr. Sprinklr is a lifesaver because we do have so many channels and working with a lot of different stakeholders, so we're able to manage all of our assets in there, our reporting, our calendar, so once people can suggest content to us through that platform too. So instead of emails and all of that stuff, we can just accept and decline those posts in platform. Yeah, so we worked with an agency and we started by kind of looking at our competitors. So some of our big competitors like Huawei, looking at their social profiles and how they did social, and then also those star performers, like I mentioned, like Netflix and Wendy's, and kind of figuring out, working with our brand team of where do we best fit into that, and then coming up with an entire process for the best posts for Facebook, the best posts for Instagram. So now we have, it's like a 100-page handbook on our Brand Exchange site. For anybody that's new to social, they have to get trained on this new process before they're allowed the keys to a channel. Yeah, so I can go back to this slide. Not letting me. So basically what we did is we broke it down, whether it was an industry specific channels, if it was a country specific channel, or if it was just a random channel. We had a lot of random channels, and then comparing those channels. So we ended up, for the countries, for example, we only have region accounts now. So we have the corporate handle, and then we have Cisco APJ, Cisco Amir, Cisco Americas. So being able to consolidate that way. And then for the industries, the majority of the industries got merged into the main corporate channel, unless they had a strong use case. And again, part of this process was certain channels, if they had a strong case, we would let them keep their channel, but it had to make sure that they have an editorial calendar, they have somebody to manage it, and that they are gonna stay active instead of just letting it sit idle, so. Yeah. For us, we're huge. So we have a specific Cisco collaboration channel. So a lot of our very specific collaboration content goes on that channel. If you're operating from one channel, I would say just create a cadence. So for example, one aspect of your business, every Monday you're posting about it, because you don't want to alienate any of your customers, but you want to make sure that you are touching each of them. So I think creating a cadence would be really good to kind of help segment it. And reaching all those customers. Yeah, for sure. We're seeing huge, huge improvements in our engagements, I think more so than we expected. We're still in the process of educating the teams of this new process because, for example, our rollout of this new idea was at EDUCAUSE, which was the higher education event, but then that was the education team. So when it came time for NRF, the retail event, it was dealing with the retail team and re-educating them. So now a lot of what we do is social selling, so helping our sellers be able to talk about Cisco more effectively instead of Cisco talking about Cisco. But one of our education videos, we did a Facebook Live with one of our influencers in the education space and did like a trivia game on the show floor of our Cisco subject matter expert asked the influencer a bunch of trivia questions related to education, and he answered them, and he was able to tie that back into what Cisco's doing. So it was really authentic and engaging, and that was the highest engaged post our corporate channel saw the entire year. And we boosted that with a little bit of paid, about $5,000 of paid, that was it, to boost it to that education audience, but we got over 350,000 views on that video. So huge, huge engagements, and it just shows that being strategic and giving good, useful information is much better than saying, come to our booth, come to our booth. So yeah, we're still working on it and kind of figuring out what our next step's going to be, but it was really successful. Yeah, I mean, we mix it up a little bit, and again, not every troll is going to be worth responding to. One of the big trending things right now for anybody a gamer in here. Okay, so a lot of our trolls will comment, subscribe to PewDiePie, which is one of the gamers, and we're not going to respond to that. It's not worth our time or effort. They're not really trying to detract from our brand. They're just creating noise, and we'll let them do their thing. But yeah, just mixing up even little things of, thanks, please send us a DM, or thank you so much, we heard you, if you wouldn't mind reaching out to us. Just kind of changing the phrasing a little bit, because we don't want to sound like robots or make them think that it was automated in any way, but showing them that we are listening. But yeah, just mixing up the phrasing a little bit. Anything else? All right, well, thank you again, guys. We'll have another session starting here shortly, but love to hear from you. Tweet at me. Write the feedback. We'd love to hear from you guys. So thank you.